as they work at kind of reconfiguring stuff on the stage so that we can all see baptism that takes place in a little bit here, just a couple things. So first of all, I am super excited for this day. So this day was initially scheduled, I think it was January 25th, and we got a foot of snow or whatever it was, and then it was scheduled for scheduled for end of February, and so this is the third attempt now at doing these baptisms because of weather. So we're so thankful that you're here to be able to celebrate along with us this morning as we celebrate these baptisms. But before we get there, Seth shared earlier, and we all heard this at the same time in regards to these folks that are stuck in the Middle East. And I asked Seth, just as we were singing that last song, I said, Seth, how many people are stuck over there? And he said, I don't know the exact number, but at least probably a dozen or whatever. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be great if for the next week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, if we could have a dozen people just real quickly put your hands up and commit to saying, I'm going to pray every single day for the return of those people. We have way over a dozen. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. We have seen the power of God's prayer in this place so many times. So many times. And we want to see it again. So thank you so much. I wanted to just make sure we're very intentional about doing that, putting it on our calendars, and throughout the course of each and every day as we move forward here, let's pray these young missionaries home in a safe way and expect God to deliver in that way. So through life, there are moments that just quietly change everything. Some of you have experienced those. Probably all of us to some degree have experienced those. Some of you have experienced those of kind of the bigger moments, right, that change everything. Like at a wedding, right? It's the moment that the doors open at the back and everybody stands. Like, everything changes in that moment. At a graduation, it's the moment that a name is called and the person walks across the stage and they're recognized for their hard work that they've put into their education. At a birth of a child, right? It's the moment that child is taken and lifted up and you look into your child's eyes for the very first time, just this quiet moment that changes everything. Or less exciting, but also very real, is the moment that you go to a title company to sign away 30 years of your life for a mortgage, right? That moment that changes everything. Baptism. The whole process of baptism has a moment that represents life change as well. It's the moment when somebody steps into the water in just a few moments, steps into the water without speaking a word and declares, this is who I belong to now, just by walking down those steps. So today we're standing in one of those moments, not just for one person, but for two wonderful people today. This morning we have a child and a youth, different ages, different journeys, but the same confession of faith. Jesus Christ is Lord, and my life belongs to Him. So this moment that we celebrate together today is sacred, it's joyful, and it certainly deserves our full attention as the congregation that this is taking place in. Our church, Fairland Church, is a part of a denomination called the Brethren in Christ Church, and when part of what we are shaped by is it's called Anabaptist tradition. And we believe that baptism is not something done for somebody, but it is something that is chosen by somebody. We believe faith must be personal, it needs to be lived out, and it needs to be expressed. That's why we participate in believers' baptism. Scripture teaches us that baptism follows repentance and faith. So if you look in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says this. He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Repentance and faith come first, and then baptism follows. I want to be really clear on this. Baptism is not a requirement for salvation. Okay, so I always like to be clear on that. Because salvation is a gift of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it reminds us, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, not by something that you and I can do, not by me walking down these steps. Not by works, so that nobody can boast." Our salvation is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. So baptism does not save us. However, it does matter deeply, and I want to be clear on that as well this morning. And here's why it matters so deeply. Because baptism is a step of obedience. Jesus did not invite us to admire him from a distance. He called us to follow him in obedience with our whole lives. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, very familiar passage to many of us, Jesus himself says, he says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Baptism is really like this first opportunity for public declaration of our faith, which is obedience in our journey. It is how we say, in a sense, "I choose the way of Jesus. I choose to walk as Jesus walked. I choose a life that's shaped by Jesus' teachings, his love, his kingdom way." In the Anabaptist tradition, baptism is not just about what we believe, but it is also about how we live our lives. Those things are tied together. It's a commitment to follow Jesus in our everyday lives. And yes, some days we nail it, and other days we fail at it and fall on our faces with it. But it's a commitment that we are going to try to live our lives, our everyday lives, according to Jesus. We're going to try to love our enemies. We're going to seek peace. We're going to serve others. We're going to live under the lordship of Christ. Baptism gives us a powerful picture of this new life that I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So this morning, as we go into the baptistry in just a few minutes, that's some of the symbolism that you will see, right? As the baptismal candidate goes under the water, going under the water represents dying to the old way of life. And coming up out of the water represents resurrection into a new way of living our lives. Today we will witness a visible testimony. And that visible testimony says, my old loyalties no longer define me. My old self no longer rules me. I now belong to Christ and to his kingdom. For a child, this step reflects a sincere and growing faith. For a youth, it reflects a maturing decision to follow Jesus intentionally. Different stages of life, the same calling, the same Savior. Just another thought about baptism is that it is deeply personal. But it should also be public. It should not be private. From the beginning of the church, baptism took place within community. Because faith is never meant to be lived alone. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, he said, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." This journey is supposed to be done together. Today, these two are acknowledging Jesus before their church family and family that they've invited here as well. They are saying, "I choose Jesus, I choose his way, I choose to walk with his people." And then to us as a church body, this moment speaks to us as well, this time of baptism. Because in the Anabaptist understanding, baptism is not only a confession of faith, it's an entrance into the covenant community. When somebody is baptized, the church also makes a commitment to nurture the faith of that person that is being baptized. A commitment to model to that person Christ-like living, a commitment to walk together in accountability, to offer grace and love to each other and that person. We are not just simply witnesses as the church body. We are participants. And this is why we celebrate. Baptism is not a quiet ritual. It is a joyful declaration that God is still at work. In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus reminds us, he says, "There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." If heaven rejoices, then the church should certainly rejoice as well. We celebrate because God is still calling hearts. We celebrate because God is still forming disciples. We celebrate because God is still faithful. And as we prepare to baptize Genevieve and JJ today, this morning, like, this invites a time of reflection for all of us. Some of you, you may be here and you were baptized as a believer and you remember your baptism clearly. Others remember the people maybe who stood with you more than you do the experience as a whole. Some of you have placed your faith in Jesus but have not yet maybe taken this step of obedience. Today is not about pressure, but it is about invitation to think, to process. An invitation to renew your commitment to follow Jesus. It's an invitation to remember that faith is lived, not merely believed. Perhaps, for some, it's an invitation to consider obedience still waiting to be taken. So today, in just a moment, water is about to tell a story of repentance and a story of faith, a story of obedience and a story of discipleship, a story of new life in Christ. And it is a story that I am so thankful to be able to be a part of and to celebrate alongside JJ and Genevieve today.